come here. Get off.
Hey y'all, so welcome to this week's episode of The Turn On. Today we are reading
Quarantine.
A collection of shorts. I mean, I knew it was quarantine, but I needed the rest
of
it. Quarantine, a selection of shorts written by Sabrina B. Scales in 2020. So sit back, relax, get your wine, your weed, whatever you need, and enjoy.
Quarantined, a collection of shorts by Sabrina B. Scales. If Dick was a slice of pressed ham, then Jabari's was a meat market, jumping under those joggers like a caged animal as he deposited me on his bed and dragged his eyes from the tips of my toes to the top of my bonnet. I wanted to smile. I wanted to cry. I wanted to call my mama and tell her where I left my pre-written eulogy, just in case the summer sausage I was drooling over took me out with my full permission. I had never experienced terror and want so intensely at the same time. My heart was beating like the TSU drumline and my pussy had taken up the English language. "Oh, we about to get fucked," she celebrated as Jabari pulled his t-shirt off over his head and threw it across the room. "Make sure this nigga got a condom. That dick is definitely gonna reach the fallopian tubes," she warned as he pushed his joggers down and off, leaving nothing to the imagination behind those deep gray boxer briefs. "You think I'd never been in a man's bed before, the way I was lying there, hanging on his every move, void of words or even instinct to tell me to sit up or take off my clothes or crawl toward him and pry the dick from his cotton prison. None of that could possibly feel better than watching this show that Jabari was putting on, teasing me in the way that only he could, bringing to fruition an exhibition that had been 26 years in the making. With the silhouette of his dick laying long and crooked against the inside of his thigh, he approached the foot of his platform bed with no footboard there to block his entry. Those stoned eyes melted me even further into the mattress as he planted his palms on the ice-white comforter and began his ascension into this forever sacred space where I lay like a damsel in distress. I tingled inside. Every inch of me did. And those butterflies that I cursed to hell earlier, they were still alive and well, acting as internal audience members. My feet were the first thing he touched, taking each of them into his big hands and massaging them one by one as if it had been all he meant or wanted to do. I didn't even bother hiding the fact that that shit felt good, and likely couldn't because he was in my head and could probably feel me about to come to the tips of my curling toes. My calves were next, accepting the warmth and strength of his palm as he rubbed up their length before bathing the back of them with his tongue. Flames were firing off in my belly and chest, and I legitimately feared I might spontaneously combust. But then my thighs. God. He parted my thighs like the Red Sea, nibbling at the soft flesh on the inside, staring up at me like he wanted to witness my undoing. And he would. And soon, if he kept traveling north, because my pussy had just put out a mixtape and every song had Jabari's name in the title. I breathed a sigh of relief when he paused the thigh nibbling, then quickly felt the oxygen being pulled from my lungs when he pushed a long, thick finger under my shorts and panties, between my slick folds, finding the way to my opening without the need for directions. My back left the bed as I arched against his palm. Mouth and legs flew wide open, welcoming everything he brought. I blinked, and I shivered, and I probably blacked out, coming to find his hands dragging my shorts and panties off. Pretty ass pussy. This nigga was talking to my vagina. Even leaned in to kiss it in the same way he kissed my lips. waving his head from side to side, making a mess on his beard. He pulled my clit between those soft lips and sucked it until it swelled. Fuck was the only word left in my memory bank. Well, and chit, I discovered when he sucked my pussy harder. I bucked against his face, lying there in nothing but a tank top, naked from the waist down, held captive by his mouth. "You taste so fucking good, Nikki," he managed to breathe out a complete sentence, glancing up at the mess that I'd quickly become before he buried his face back between my legs. "I knew you would." He didn't bother lifting his head this time, sending his words down the narrow flow of my sex where they rightfully belonged. Feeling the familiar arrival of climax rearing its head, I palmed the back of Jabari's head like a basketball, sinking my fingers into his short, kinky locks. Rolling my hips up and down the spread of his lips, I bathed his handsome face with my nectar, bucking into him harder and faster until there was nothing left but fragments of me shattering all over his mouth without a single solitary complaint.
Y'all, so thank you, Camria, for that lovely rendition. I'm committed to calling each time you read an excerpt a rendition.
Rendition. I was like, oh, we doing that again? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so thank you for that rendition of Quarantine. Okay, so here's the thing. This is what this book is about. So it's a collection of shorts. It's like three short stories, which I actually really enjoy because you know me and my, you know, inability to stick to anything. So it's three short stories, and it starts with this guy and this chick. They live in the same building, and then in their story, she mentions his brother. And then the next story is about his brother, and then her brother. And then the next story is about somebody else in the third story. So it just kind of all links, but they're three stories, and it's all about quarantine. It's like what we went through. Right. It actually really was.
Some of us are still going through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Booster. Yeah, that's me. I was out before the booster. But anyway, so this was like really flashbacky. It like really got me. It reminded me of like how it put me back in the feelings that I felt like in the middle of quarantine, not knowing what the fuck was happening. What was going on? Toilet paper supplies going crazy. So that was really interesting. So premise of the story, this chick, she lives in the same apartment building as her brother and his best friend. And her brother is on a vacation with some chick. In their story, we later find out they're stuck there. And this chick and her brother's best friend is in the house, stuck quarantined. Her brother's best friend is a DJ, kind of like D-Nice.
He's
right?
Basically D-Nice, yeah.
Yeah, he's basically D-Nice. And she, there's been some kind of, I'm looking at you looking at me things going on. And this story, quarantine happens and hijinks ensue, .. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so first, the book is really well written. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like I was listening to my homegirl tell me a story, right? Like, at some point, she was like, oh, we about to get fucked. And I was like, oh, this is some shit. Like, I felt like my homegirl was in the middle of telling me, like, girl, let me tell you what the fuck went down. So it was really good in that sense that, like, and then also, like, there was a scene, like, where she went to his house to drop off some stuff, and he had lettuce, and she was like, yeah, he got that bougie lettuce in a plastic thing that, you know, he bought normally, but the rest of us niggas was buying it once we ran out of regular lettuce. And I was like, yo, like, I know the lettuce she's talking about, and I know the situations that she's talking about. But you know how you go to the grocery store, and you need one thing, but they're out. So then you get like the bougie for no reason example of it.
I mean, I probably what I get is already the bougie reason, the bougie stuff, because we eat organic.
You would not have gotten that only because it is in a, it's packaged in a way that you're like, oh my God, no, this is horrible for the environment. Mm. And maybe it is those lettuce. It's like the bib lettuce. And maybe it is organic, but it kind of defeats the purpose because it's like in this plastic clamshell.
So not like the clamshell salads, but this is just lettuce that's like...
It's a head of bib lettuce. It's got the little things attached to the bottom.
Mm-hmm. But it's...
Roots. And it's like in a plastic clamshell.
Okay.
It just bougie for no reason. And she was like, this bougie motherfucker and his lettuce. And I was like, yo, like, again, such great writing that just reminds me of, like, here's the thing. I feel like sometimes when things are, when people try to get too familiar and too current events-y, like where they're like dropping shit that like happened yesterday, the shit sounds weird. Kind of reminds of the guy in the movie last night that we were watching. Like,
I was just thinking, yeah, it rings false. It feels like you're trying too hard.
Yeah.
But this felt super organic, and it felt like we really did just drop down in the middle of their lives. And like, this is how they speak, and it's the way that we speak.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. So, and then the Method Man comment, so she was sitting on the couch. She was like, you know, sitting on the couch in the middle of a pandemic with my hair bonnet on, because God forbid we're the last people on Earth, and I got to repopulate the planet with Method Man, and he comments on my split ends, and I'm just like, so black, yet so true. I'm just like, damn, Sabrina, you like, I really felt like I was just listening to my homegirl shoot the shit, so love that. Okay, so, like I said, this guy, his name is Jabari, but this nigga D-Nice, like,
he's basically right? Doing club quarantine. Yeah.
Yeah. He calls it Club Jabari or something like that.
Yeah.
And it made me, it brought me back to like the first time I was like listening to D-Nice, like when he just started doing his thing. Did you do any of that?
A couple of times. Or? Just, I would dip in for a few minutes at a time. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, it was just, to me, it really reminded me of, like, going back to that. It took me back to that place, like, ooh, D-Nice is doing this thing. Because, see, I was an early adopter. I was on before he even hit 100,000. Like, I think the live that he hit 100,000 was, like, the third or fourth one I had listened to. Because before, early on... he kept getting kicked off at an hour. So then he got kicked off.
Yeah.
And he had to start all over again. So I was like, yo, this is just, it was beautiful. You know, like to me, it was really dope that like everybody was sitting at home and you see like fucking Oprah and Gail in the chats along with like something I went to high school with. You know, it was just really, like, it felt good. I felt like we were all, like, sitting at home, drinking, eating our body weight in cheese or bread or potatoes in your instance. And just quarantining it up. So it made me happy. What were we going to say?
I think it's interesting. And I think it speaks to the different places that you are and I are in, that when you look at this, it's with nostalgia.
Oh, and... no, nigga. No.
Well, it sounds like it. It sounds like
I find bits of joy in it. I find bits of joy in it. Because actually, I was out there and my brother was watching quarantine. He was watching Tiger King. And seeing that brought me back to a very specific place. I was sitting out there on the couch working because I was still trying to figure out where I was going to be working. I was like in the like throes of chemo, And I remember, like, there are certain things that just, like, remind me of, like, the really shitty aspects of quarantine. Tiger King, Black AF, isn't that the Kenya Barris Netflix show?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah,
Yeah.
I didn't watch that.
Yeah. So, like, there were very, like, shitty parts of quarantine. There still are very shitty parts of quarantine, but I tried to highlight the more, this was lovely, parts of it all. Like our happy hours. Remember we were doing our happy hours weekly?
Yeah, that's a long time ago, it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those, like, I, not to say that this shit ain't been, difficult on you, because nigga, I see. But, I think I just choose to, like, hold on to the good bits and look at the good shit that came, as opposed to, looking at quarantine as a dark cloud.
Okay. I guess because I don't know, I'm just still very, very much in it. Like nothing has materially changed, except for that in the beginning, it felt like we were all in it together. And now it's like when you see those tweets where people are like, who else is still social distancing and wearing their masks everywhere? And you know what I mean? Can you please like this and retweet it so that I know that it's not just me? Like, that's how I
That's how you
feel
feel.
all the time. Yeah. So it doesn't, I don't know. It didn't feel like a look back. It felt like this is yesterday, except for that everybody is not doing it too. And but I do remember, how it felt when everybody was doing it, and it felt like everybody was taking everything really seriously, and like everybody was, because that was back before we knew how long it was going to be. That was when it was like 2 weeks, school be closed for 2 weeks, everybody stay in the house for two
I
weeks.
never in any way, and maybe
Thought it
that's
was going
why I
to be
was
2 weeks.
like, I never thought it was going to be 2 weeks. From the beginning, I was like, we like this till spring. Now, when spring 2021 came around and we wasn't, I was like, okay, nigga. But like,
I
yeah,
remember that's what
like,
they were
this is
saying.
America.
Like when school closed, they were
We
like, we send them home for 2 weeks. And yeah, no, I don't know that I ever really believed it was going to be 2 weeks, but I remember that there was like this optimism because that's what we were being told, that it was just going to be a quick shut it down and then we out here again. And I think the part of this that resonated with me, or the part that I that stuck out to me, was like, oh, right, this was during that time before we knew shit. Before we
Yeah.
thought it was just gonna be like, ooh, okay, everybody in the house, it's peaceful, the streets are quiet, everybody's taking walks, we waving at each other, this is dope. Before we realized that that wasn't gonna be it.
Like now, oh, that light at the end of the tunnel? No, that was just
Yeah.
a fucking nightlight somebody left down here
Yeah. It was
in the
before
midst
cats
of
start
shit.
arguing about masking, and the
Yeah.
hotep started telling us that they was gonna try to track us with a vaccine. You know, it was simpler times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the nostalgia that I feel about it when you say I look, yeah, like, because I knew from the very beginning that this shit was not gonna be a 2 week thing. I was like, it take us 2 weeks to fucking like pick our color underwear or something. Like, I did not, because I was like, we ain't going nowhere till there's a vaccine. And they ain't doing no vaccine in 2 weeks. So, and we just now getting to, kids having it. But okay. So D-Nice parties were I remember we did our What Brings You Joy series as a thing. And yeah, I think, did I say D-Nice? I think I said Auntie Music.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Probably it's probably auntie music because that's all the
It probably
time.
was.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, so D Nice Club Quarantine certainly got me through it. Okay, so Jabari was denounced, but not really, because this nigga also had a job. Like, he started a virtual assistant business to kind of pay for his doing the shit he wants to. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't even want to do that shit. But, you know, he had to. And I remember at one point, so when I, like, at the height, at the beginning of quarantine, I was doing chemo and, like, had fucked up sleep schedule. Like, mm-hmm. I would call them night naps.
You were up in the middle of the night all the,
I would call them night naps, because I would, like, go to bed at, like, 11 and then be up at, like, 12:30 and be like, well, I'm up. So, on a night nap, I was watching this show on Fuse, and it was, like, T-Pain's School of Hustle or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. And it was an old episode, but it was this guy talking about how he built this virtual reality concert thing. So everybody could put on their VR headsets and, you know, watch a concert. And I was like, yo,
that's cool.
This nigga was ahead of his time.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, and they've actually used it, actually, I think, in a sick twist of fate. I think Travis Scott was one of the first artists to do, like, a show. Yeah.
Stayed with that shit.
Exactly. But it made me think about how Jabari, he had a virtual assistant business. And I'm just like, yo, like, people like that that did that shit was, like, really ahead of the time and probably knew. I mean, like, I don't even think they knew what the fuck they, well, some people might have. But, you know, like, Zoom. I used to joke and say, like, Zoom sponsored the fucking pandemic. Like, them niggas knew what the fuck they was doing. At work, we were preparing for, you know, virtual stuff. And so it wasn't as, it was horrible at my job. But we kind of had our minds on, like, being able to help people, you know, work virtually. And it's just like, yo, some people really hit a lick in a pandemic. I have people that I talk to that do, like, sex adjacent stuff, like, you know, selling toys and shit like that. And they was like, yo, niggas was fucking during pandemic because I was making money like crazy. So I was just like, you know, again, pandemic sucked. But at the same time, I think there was some growth that came out of it. Something, like I said, some people hit a lick, you know?
I think I'm having trouble with that language.
What do you mean?
Was? No. With the, I guess maybe hit a lick is accurate. I guess it's like, I'm having trouble with the juxtaposition of folks essentially profiting off of the pandemic, right? But just because I'm having trouble with it doesn't mean it's not true. Yeah, I'm just having sort of, like, situating that alongside, like,
niggas dying.
Exactly.
Yeah, no,
specific,
I mean, like,
and, like, niggas specifically too, right?
This,
like,
comes,
yeah,
from someone who lost someone very close to her at the very beginning of the pandemic. But I also am of the, I'm of the thought where it's like, if we're going to go through this horrible shit, let something good come from it, you know? And I don't, and it's, it'd be different if it was like, niggas was upselling, reselling toilet paper. That kind of shit, nigga, you tripping.
They,
you know,
probably was.
They probably was. Look, remember Amazon and the wipes and shit? Or, like, you know, reselling wipes and hand sanitizer. That, not so much. But I do think it's really cool that, like, some people were building businesses that were based to support a more virtual world, a more virtual economy. And it enabled us to, you know, still connect and be around each other. And they made some money off of it, you know? To me, there's a difference between making money off of it and, like, exploiting or, you know, taking advantage of people in the midst of this. So I guess that's why I'm like, you know, niggas was fucking. That's a great thing. Maybe somebody was getting some good sex. Some people were not and realized that they hate their fucking partners, which I think is what happened in the second story in this book, right?
No, they didn't realize they hated each other. It just made them think about their relationship, like forced them to evaluate what they really wanted it to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you in on the innovation aspect of it.
That's it.
Yeah, as opposed to like the capitalism aspect of it. Like, yeah, like folks were forced to innovate. Like, even like you mentioned earlier that when D Nice first started like doing the club quarantine and he kept getting cut off like after an hour. And I think like stuff like that and Versus like forced like IG to change the way that it handled large, you know, like people with large followings and bring how they configured their platform to be able to bring more people together. Like that was pretty dope. And it forced companies to be able to have to be more accessible to their employees. It forced people who are throwing conferences and conventions to rethink the ways that they bring those things to people. And so, like, from an innovation accessibility aspect of it, I think it's been fantastic. People being able to work from home in these companies where they swore up and down that you couldn't work from home. And now all of a sudden you're forced to. And oh, shit, look at that. Y'all figured this shit out. Of course, the challenge, right, is for people to keep that up. To keep having conferences be accessible so that folks who aren't able to be there physically can still participate, to keep making it an option for people to be able to work from home so they're not forced to come into offices where accessibility is an issue for them. And even to just think about the fact that folks have responsibilities that are not just work, and if they can do their jobs from home without having to come into an office, why prop up commercial real estate for the purpose, like, that's why, right? Folks are making people come back into offices when folks can live their lives and do their jobs from home and still be wonderful employees and still serve the mission of the companies while also taking better care of themselves and the people who they love. I think for the companies and the organizations that embrace that and who are continuing to embrace that, ooh, and also telehealth, like the fact that that turned into a real, like think about how much easier it got once you started being able to do your appointments. Like nobody was offering that. Not really before the pandemic.
They had all these fucking laws in the way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like,
and insurance so the innovation wasn't covering certain shit. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like I definitely see those as silver linings that have come out. I think the challenge is just for companies to keep doing it. Like one of my doctors is transitioning back to in-person. Like now she's down to like just one day where you can do telehealth. And I'm like, I can't. Like, so it's either I got to get myself together, right? Find a new, which is what I'm doing, or drive all the way the fuck to where she is, or wait weeks to be able to do virtual because everybody wants virtual, but she's only available one day a week that way now. So it's like, damn, like, why can't y'all let's keep moving forward. Don't say, oh, okay, we think the world should open. Let's move backward again. Like, cause so many folks benefited from the increase in accessibility that was caused by the pandemic.
Yeah. One of my doctors has now a like a physician's assistant that is dedicated to telehealth. And I appreciate that. Cause I'm like, hey girl, we're going to do this right here. And it's helped a lot, you know? So, yeah, I totally agree, particularly about the accessibility. I follow this disability advocate on disability activist on TikTok, Crutches and Spice. I love her. She's so spicy.
I see Monty, right?
I don't even know her name. So it's Crutches and Spice.
I think that's Imani Barbary.
I love her ass because she always, she has.
And she is spicy.
Yeah. And she's got like really good takes on everything. It's not just disability. She has like dope ass takes on everything. But it's also dope. Like also dope that she's just, you know, disabled and being a bad bitch. She was totally off topic. There was a TikTok with this black girl that was like, I took my company to the stock exchange. And she like stitched and was like, wait, that's you? I love your clothes. I want to model for you. And now she does.
And she did. Yeah, I saw those pictures. And she posted them on Twitter.
I fucking love this.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Also, I became a TikTok queen during
quarantine. You did?
Okay, so enough of the gloom and doom of quarantine, because we was doing a lot of that. So, Jabari, he, you know, sees Nikki. They chatted up for a minute. Nikki goes back to her room, her apartment. And she happens to find him. She happens to, like, go on IG. He's going live. So she, you know, pops in his room, which...
Nah, he told her he was going to be on, and she was trying to avoid it on some,
but
I don't need
it. So here's the thing. I think it was more one of those, like, you know how it's like so-and-so was going live, and you accidentally hit, and you're like, fuck, I'm in a room with, like, two other people.
And I've done that.
And click.
Back out slowly.
Yeah, I mean, back out slowly, like, but yeah. So I like to think that's what happened. But he sees her in there, and he was like, I'm going to get her panties. How? I'm going to play a siren song. What is that siren song? Whitney Hutton, right?
Yeah.
And so he starts playing Whitney Houston.
What is it? I Want to Dance with Somebody?
Yeah, he started there.
Yeah.
But it was like
a whole medley.
Yeah, a whole Whitney hour or something. What's your, like, I cannot resist this artist. If I hear this artist or song playing, I have to get up no matter where I am. I'm in a fucking grocery store. I'm at the doc. Well, no, you dance in a grocery store. I'm at the doctor's office. Whatever. I hear this, hands down. I got to dance, sing along, something.
Cash Money taking over for the 99 and 2000s.
So on brand. So on brand.
Immediately. Yeah.
Wow.
That was Can't get around
graduated from high school. And so, like, it not only is it a good song, but it's like,
it's got staying power.
It was like a part of, like, life. Yeah. Like, it was,
he was talking to us.
Yeah. He was like, taking over for the 99-2000. Nigga, I'm graduating. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
What about you?
Auntie Music. So I sing along to all Auntie Music wherever I am. I sing along. Guaranteed to make me dance. Anything like No Limit, Southern, you know, like that kind of shit, like Cash Money, like Project Bitch. That shit come on, nigga. I am a Project Bitch. Yeah, shit like that. Did I tell you about my friend's experience with No Limit?
No.
What? So I came here to DC. I hope he don't get mad at me for telling this story. I'm not gonna
don't say no names.
They came to DC, but it's a very specific story. They came to DC to do a show. So he went to the show. A friend of his was cousins with, like, somebody in No Limit, right? So they all hook up after the show. He takes them niggas to stands and chopped up with them all night. Mm-hmm. Like, every picture he has of that night, he's like this. Big-ass cheesy grin. And I was like, yo, like...
That's awesome.
That night was you, like, giving your 15, 16, 17 year old self.
Like, exactly what they needed.
Right?
Yeah.
He was like, he said, I looked Master P in the face and told him, nigga, I am a No Limit soldier. Damn near 40. Told Master P, I'm a No Limit soldier. And then he went to tell me how he was about to get No Limit tattooed on his body. Thankfully, his mama told him not to.
Oh, shit.
But yeah. Like, it was like, he was like, I paid for Masterpiece Drinks and Wings at Stan's. And I was like, yo, that is a dope ass story. He was like, I told Master P, I know you don't need me to pay for this, but I'm a No Limit soldier. I am going to pay for my general's meal.
Sad.
I was like, yo. Now, the next day, he was fucked up. He was like, maybe I am a limited soldier.
Because the way my bank account is set up.
The way his body was set up, he was like, nigga, I'm hurting. Oh, but yeah, shit. So I was just like, yo, I was like, that is just, that was dope. That's really, I was like, cute. That is a gift to your inner child, right? Yeah. Be like every picture, this nigga had a cheese ass grin on his face.
Okay.
That. The sex scene in this story. Question. What'd you say?
I said that was a really good question, because now I'm thinking about other things. What makes me get me bodied? I'm gonna dance the entire time.
When I wrote the question, I was like, something from, she gonna Beyonce, say Beyonce.
Yeah, get me bodied.
I'm sorry, I'm like, is swinging my gonna, sausages around.
We'll definitely make that happen.
Get you moving.
Also, there was a very specific time, a couple of years, and I lived in New York. It was Give It To Me. And I still do that song for karaoke. Jay-Z.
Give It To Me.
That's oh, I'm sweet, like, that give nasty, it to me.
That
okay.
Gushy stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's I got it, man. I drunk, loud on the table, I'm going to sing it with the depths of my soul. So, yeah. I totally get
I've
it.
Danced in line waiting to get in the club, pissed that I didn't make it in before, back when I used to stand in line.
The song.
Before the song came on, yeah.
So, what's your karaoke song? So you said Give It To Me.
Give It To Me is a go-to. I typically rap. I mean, obviously, I mean, I can sing, but
I cannot, rapping is hard. Sing.
Yeah. I rap something that folks ain't heard for a while. Sometimes it's Pac. Sometimes it's Jay. Ain't No Fun is a crowd favorite.
So, listeners, Kiran and I definitely did Ain't No Fun at Trap Karaoke 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That exists out there somewhere in the world.
Out there in the ether.
We had a good ass time. What was it? 15,000 people? Something stupid. Not that many. How many people were there?
I don't know. It was a lot of the people. Howard Theater.
Yeah. And we had the whole crowd. It was really beautiful, actually. Fun times. There's something that I sing, you know, a long time ago I used to do Erykah Badu songs, but I don't fuck with her no more, so she's dropped by the rotation. And bitch, like, always on the wrong side of shit.
Why are you always on the wrong side?
And just, it sucks, because she, like, I don't know, 10 years ago was my favorite singer. Like, I had at that point seen her perform more than anybody else, and now it's Beyonce. But, like, I had to give her up, because she always loud and fucking wrong and dangerous, quite honestly. So that's the end of that. Yeah. So I don't sing her songs anymore. That sucks. I can't remember the last thing I actually sang, but I know when we sang on my birthday, I'm pretty sure I sang something, but I don't know. What's your go-tos?
Tevin Campbell, Can We Talk? Rick James, Super Freak. That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Howard Theater is 1,200, a little bit more than 1,200.
Okay. And I remember them. I do remember them. I knew it was a 15 in there. I remember they saying 1,500, but that would have been a violation of fire code. So we'll say it was 1,200 people.
Y'all. So, yeah.
That was fun.
Okay. Now, let's get on to the sex of the matter. Because they had really good sex in this. Mm-hmm. And, like, they had good sex. It was written really well. Kenria, I'm laughing at you even doing it, because there was a lot of, oh shit,
and you know how I feel about the, yeah, the interjections.
just put you go like record it like this so people can see you.
Don't look at me.
Yeah, so they talked a lot, and it was like,
yeah,
I talk in bed, and I love being talked to, because baby, you want to see me be nasty? Ooh, someone posted on Twitter, on Instagram today. Damn, I probably won't be able to find it. It was like, what's the nastiest thing you've heard or said during sex? Some of these people are like really like tame. Like, it's like, ooh, they put my foot in their mouth. Digga. That's level one for me.
Everybody's got their thing.
I love nasty people. So, okay. So it's Sexual Essentials is the person that posted it. She's a sex educator. Dope as fuck. I like following her. But yes. I was in this shit. Like, first, every other comment is somebody like posted up here for ideas. This bitch said, this nigga told me he was gonna suck out my daily water intake.
Ew, that don't sound.
Yes, I love it. Lots of spit in my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Which, someone that hates kissing,
I know.
Actually don't mind it.
I know, and I love kissing, and even that is like, ooh, okay.
I do it.
Not for me.
I'm like, I do it. I have a problem. Which, okay, spelling the name of our future child with each stroke.
Okay,
that was interesting. Spit my mouth.
But also, you know, that whole, I remember, like, there, you know, people like, oh, we spell the alphabet. That's not consistent. I don't need a stroke that's moving all over the place. I need one that's
again, it's like that, like pouring water. Oh wow. She asked me to go under her pillow and grab her favorite toy. It's always under the right pillow. Do I know you?
Because
that is me all the time. Yeah, it's one chick said, I have to send it to your DM. Yeah. This is that. Some of these are just, I love nasty.
Come back to us. Look. This bitch is scrolling.
Anyway, yes. So I love being talked to. I love being, if you coach me through an orgasm, nigga,
yeah,
I'm out same. In front of your mama house. Why are you being weird to me? I can't. It's just too fucking lovely.
I like talking too. It's just, it's fun. And it's, I don't know, it's that much more intimate. It's like, you know me well enough to know the right thing to say in this moment. That's not going to make me be like, oh, get up. Because I've done that before. That's enough.
Yeah.
Get up.
Yeah. Yeah. That. And I mean, yeah, I talk a lot. I don't think I've ever been with someone that was like, shut up. I talk a lot, right? And on one hand, I'd be like, nigga. But then I'm like, I get it. Just shut up. Be quiet.
I haven't, but I can think of some people where if I had opened that floodgate, I would have had to work hard.
Nigga,
to close
stop.
It. Shut up, nigga. Yeah, no.
And actually, it's interesting because depending on the lover, depends on like how, what I like. I mean, not that I have like a one size fit all, but for some people, I'm very dominant and I'm like, this my dick. I give lots of direction. Lots of direction.
Which goes to that intimacy, right? Of
shit
it, right?
You don't remember outside of the bedroom.
Yeah.
Like, Actually, my talk game is pretty fucking good now that I'm thinking about it.
That's what's up. I don't know that mine is. It's okay. I'm really, I want to be talked to.
So there's this chick, Marla Stewart. She is the founder of, her and someone else founded the Sex Down South Conference, but she teaches a sex talk class, how to sex talk. And it's actually really good because she's like, we're going to come up with some shit. We're going to say some shit. And I did it on Zoom. So she's like, okay, what you got to say, Eric? I was like, okay, let me, because she has like three levels. And so by the time we got to level three, I was like, okay, I got to turn off Zoom so y'all can't see me say what the fuck I'd be like,
in the chat.
No, because she's like, she won't let you. Like, no, she's like, inflection. Maybe you need to say, put your emphasis on this or drag out this word. I mean, it's a really good class.
That's dope.
I suggest y'all take it. But yeah, I love me some dirty talk.
And you would have fit right in this scene.
Girl, I was like, I was taking notes like, oh, I'm going to have to say some of this. So yeah, it was a good fucking scene, particularly because of the talking. But that's all I got. You got anything?
I think the only other thing is that one of the things, lots of things, that I really loved about this book was that you mentioned at the very top was the interconnectedness of the stories.
Yeah.
I really appreciated
it. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. That's a chain being connected. Yeah. But yeah.
It was nice. And I mean, kind of speaks to the interconnectedness of life and how none of us are really operating in silos, even when we feel like we are.
Even in the middle of a fucking pandemic where we're all isolated, we're not.
Yeah. And I think she did a really good job of bringing that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. And it's, like you said, for those who like a quick read, and it is nice to sometimes just pop into a world and pop out. And this was nice to see three different parts. It was a very good example of world building in a short amount of a space, how she dropped us in and showed us the same world from three different perspectives, or six different perspectives, really. It was really cool. So,
okie dokie.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I've got. So, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back to our segment.
What's turning us on?
Da-da-da.
Hey, y'all. Today's a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it'd be fun to have your own show like us, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. And Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show gets put online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, literally everything, within minutes of finishing and uploading your recording. We use it here for the Turn On, and I can truly attest to the fact that it's pretty fucking dope. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. So join over 100,000 podcasters like us who are already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Just click the link in our show notes and you'll be able to get your own account set up. And if you sign up for a paid plan, you'll get a $20 Amazon gift card and support our show. Let's create something great together. Sign up for Buzzsprout today.
Hey, y'all. So we're back for What's Turning Us On, Killa. You have a cousin.
Yes.
Of another product. Yes. Share,
so on an earlier episode this season, we talked about this thing that I was hella late on that everybody else apparently was using. Well, bitches, I don't know if y'all late on this. You're probably not. I'm probably also late on this. But it does. It has a cousin that's got this little thing on.
He got a tail.
He got a tail. So it's a little smaller than the original. But it's got this piece. And when we opened it, my partner, I had been saying it goes in your butt, which is why I got it. My partner was like, does it? So then the instructions are in Mandarin. So we had to like go online.
Okay. Pictures. Yes,
so looking for photos, it does indeed go in your butt. I was just trying to understand how this is, how this goes. Yeah, goes in your butt.
The whole thing?
Uh-huh. But you can also...
And does it go like this?
Uh-huh.
Turn it on. Let me see.
Hopefully it's charged. Yeah. So the vibration is mainly, it's obviously powered here. But it's mm-hmm. meant to give you, if you like, a full situation.
Mm-hmm. Booty.
That you can go on and put this up in there while you are using this on your, because it's a clit stimulator. Uh-huh. So it's giving you a couple of different types of stimulation at the same time. And yeah, it's meant for this piece to flutter just a little bit inside your body. It's very subtle. I can feel it on my hand, but it's not like a fucking butterfly wing or anything.
Yeah. Okay. But you can also put it in your...
You could put it in your cooch as well. It just all depends on where you like, but make sure that you clean it very well in between moving it from place to place.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want no infections. I think I
just keep it dedicated for exactly. one or the other. So, but yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you should be cleaning all your toys. Like, let's be very clear.
But we'll put the link up for the cousin of...
Rose's cousin that came in from...
St. Olaf. Exactly.
All right. Well, this was great. Thank you so much, Killa, for showing us your rendition of the rose. Thanks. Okay, y'all. So it's your favorite ho-host, Erica Killa, two hoes making it clap.
This episode was produced by us, Kenry and Erica, and edited by Ballistic. The theme music is from Brazy. Hit subscribe right now in your favorite podcast app and at youtube.com/theturnonpodcast so you'll never miss an episode.
Then follow us on Twitter at @theturnonpod and Instagram at @theturnonpodcast. And you can find links to books, transcripts, guest info, what's turning us on, and other fun stuff at theturnonpodcast.com.
And don't forget to email us at theturnonpodcast@gmail.com with your book recommendations and your pressing sex and related questions.
And you can support the show by leaving us a 5-star review, buying some merch, or becoming a patron of the show. Just head to theturnonpodcast.com to make that happen.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Holla.